In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our fallen condition, many things are just too much for us to bear. We get tired, we get exhausted from work or being attentive to even just the conditions and circumstances around us, even if we are just sitting. Reading the Passion of our Lord, two long chapters of St. Matthew's Gospel, aloud at that, that could seem a bit tiring for us in more ways than one. It's perhaps tiring physically if we were standing the whole time, tiresome in keeping attentive and engaged, tiresome emotionally. But all of that really goes together. Now, our congregation has, in recent years, returned to what's actually a very old custom of reading the Passion in parts on this Sunday. Sometimes in older times, even certain places today, they might have choirs along with the congregation and the pastor reading this in parts. Maybe you're familiar with, for example, St. Matthew's Passion, composed by Bach. And I know that we like to do it this way. We probably would say that it was all easier on us in this way, in contrast to as if we were just listening into it all in one person's voice. I'm guessing that at least for much of this, you probably would say that you really didn't find reading this gospel very hard at all like this. You gladly did it. It was almost like time stopped. And probably while you were reading it, maybe you saw something in new light that you didn't see before. A peculiar detail, a new insight, a new question arose in your mind, or perhaps an old lesson newly learned. Maybe you even saw how it connects with that this or that part of the Bible. Well, hopefully you saw something wonderful there in our Lord's Passion. If you know what it's about, what it means for you and me, you probably kept looking further and wanting more. And like that, even though you were reading a very comparatively long section of Scripture, it didn't drain you, but it really invigorated you. It's a lot like how in Genesis that we're told how Jacob served Laban for 7 years so that he could have Rachel, and yet it says, but they seemed like they were but a few days because of the love he had for her. Now, if we would read long passages of the Bible for self-disciplining sake, much less as punishment for our sins somehow, we would not at all be reading it rightly. Read all you want till you think that would make God happy with you. It doesn't. Actually, thinking that way, it makes it the opposite. And whatever guilt you would carry, well, the accusation would still be held against you. Of His law, it would still be there. But rather, God wants you to see how Jesus was bearing all of this. This is the story of your salvation from your sins, which how it would be fully accomplished, as well as to give you confidence in the Lord's love for you despite your weakness, despite your fallibility. He shows you all this because He wants you to see the kinds of things Jesus endured to have you so that He could pay for your sins as only He could. Not to make you sorry and for that to make you love Him somehow, but so you see the great love He has for you, to get you thinking about what you will know in heaven. It's also to show you how despite all evil, God can still use everything for good, to give you hope so that you will continue to love and trust in Him and live only for Him. You know, in theory, if it got too much, Jesus could have gotten all out of all these painful things that we just heard with Him. He could have just completely avoided Jerusalem, but He didn't, and that's exactly the point. As painful as it was going to be, as He knew it would be, He wasn't trying to get out. He knew He was going to die. He knew He had to die. And that's exactly at the heart of the mystery of our faith, that though He didn't want to die, as is right for any human being, especially who's not a sinner, even yet He wanted to die. He wanted to so that despite the evils we see in the world that we know in ourselves, we would know the truth of God's unfathomable love and grace so that this could be clearly made known for you. He did it so that he could have you. You would trust in him and walk in him in his righteousness, free from sin, and so you could have confidence in the day of judgment because you know you belong to Jesus. You know that you are a son of God, and you know the Son of God gave his blood so that he could be yours and you could be his. You have been baptized into his name. You have that confidence. He did this so that we could have him eternally and trust in him always and be living and even working with him for a new creation. He did it so that you would know what truth, goodness, and beauty truly are. It's a beautiful thing, the most beautiful thing, what he did on the cross in love for you. That defines what beauty is. And this is indeed what you were made for. You to be with Jesus in his love, which saves you from your sins, where they would take you. Instead, you belong to him. With all the people in our Lord's Passion, you know, we were seeing how it all was proving too much. It was too tiring, too risky for them to fulfill their duties, at least as they saw it, as they thought in time. Peter's the famous example. For him, James and John, watching and praying, it got to be too much. As they judged it, it was clearly time to sleep. Of course it's time to sleep. That's what we do every night. And then we get up so that we can be awake and alert for the next day. And they thought that they would know the moment to fight when they saw it. But they forgot their first duty is to heed the Lord. What he says, when he says, even if they didn't fully understand, because we don't always fully understand. They didn't believe that watching and praying with Jesus, waiting with him a little extra when he asked, was really going to prove profitable. Peter didn't think it would be profitable, neither for him, for his life's endurance, if people were associating him with Jesus, who's the criminal here. And so that's why Peter denied him. It proved all too much for him. Pilate thought his task was to keep peace, and that's right. But facing an angry crowd proved too much for Pilate. Fearing his reputation would be diminished, perhaps, was too much for him. He perhaps was even fearing for his life here and thinking his chief goal was just to keep living another day. He wanted justice to be done. But he didn't realize his first duty is to heed God through and above all. And so, in all the confusion and weakness, he failed. The circumstances were too much for him. He yielded and he handed Jesus over. But for Jesus, even though it was unjust, even by human standards, none of this was too much. He still spoke peacefully the whole time. He kept going, becoming the victim, suffering betrayal, suffering for everyone else for whom it was too much, which is everyone. He did it because he loved the Father, and he loved them, and he loved you. And in that strange way, this was a joy for him, as we heard St. Paul just say, even though it hurt him. He loved us, and he knew what was being gained as he did so. And as much as Pilate, Peter, you and I hurt him, we were still his Rachel. Now, I suppose that we could also say it was too much for Judas to see that woman anoint Jesus with the costly oil. Not having financial security or even greater wealth, that was too much for Judas. And so he didn't go any further with Jesus. Instead, he turned against him. And for Caiaphas and the priests, not having their job security, even if it meant sacrificing truth and a good conscience, was too much for them. And so they sentenced Jesus to death very gladly. For many in the crowd, not having civic disagreement in their midst was too much for them. And so they sought to get rid of Jesus. While on the cross, we heard many passing by, and the thieves beside him, even them being associated with Jesus even here, that was too much for them. Because even foolishly here, they were seeking their own reputation above all else, even though they were clearly criminals. And so they reviled Jesus too. Now these people found Jesus too much, not simply because they wanted to survive a little more and yet still hear Jesus someday, but because they had other goals, other aspirations, things they valued more that they thought that were going to help their true lives and status. And so they hardly gave Jesus the time of day. And for someone who has such goals today, reading Jesus' passion will also seem too much. They'll hardly give it the time of day. And neither will they know the benefits, though. But God wants you and me. He wants you now. And really all people, even those who have walked away, who have chased other things in the past. He wants them to see that this whole story is not how God is meant, how God is meaning to throw a further burden on you. He wants you to see this is His greatest gift. It's truly a gift. It's the gift of your salvation. The detailed account of how He brilliantly works salvation from your sins despite your own sins against Him. From separation from Him who loves you, and indeed from all evil, from without as well as from within. It will not truly harm you, because your salvation and life and resurrection with God, the work is finished. Jesus was enduring all this to pay for your failures, atoning for your sins, taking on Himself what they deserve, so that you can be a part of the new creation. Further, it's a gift, and that it really exposes the true nature of men as we are, as creatures of Adam. It shows you how you are by nature, so that you know what happens if you go unchecked and not hearing God's word, not having His Holy Spirit leading you to His word and promises and walking in the way of righteousness. It is also a gift that it clearly shows, though, that walking in the way of the cross now is not the way of death, it's the way of life. What do I mean by walking in the way of the cross? It's actually a phrase that I pray in a collect every week. It means, though, walking in the way of the cross, being the way of life, it means that the difficulties you bear and the office and station you have in life, the difficult people you work with, the thankless tasks, the injury you may bear, the affliction from others that you didn't ask for that's left you permanently crippled, things like that that you can't foresee, as you bear those now in faith, you know that this is working together with the Lord for a new creation. You are redeeming things from going the way that they would in sin, as you are now showing how Jesus has claimed your life. And He's working now as you live by His word. If you bear these things cheerfully, well, even though they are tedious, if you bear them cheerfully, it makes a great witness to those around you for the life that you have. It tells them that this is the world, these are the people, the time and the place that God cares for, that Christ gave His life for. He wants them to see His redemption in the world too, so that they will also walk by faith in Him amid all the death they see around. Now, you can't say that you're walking in the way of the cross if you're full of personal ambition and suffering in pursuits of worldly vanity. If you're not using your talents and what God has given you for the glory of His love, but instead trying to make a kingdom for yourself in the world, if you're trying to live apart from Him, going outside of His commandments, well then don't call that bearing the cross if you suffer for it. That suffering is likely a temporal punishment or a restraint that God has given, and that's good for you that He did, so that you'll repent and turn to Him, trust Christ alone. The way of the cross, following Jesus, means that we trust that He has won our salvation, though. And with that, we know that all of life, all we receive, the position we're in, the tasks we have, the people we live with, it's really a gift. God has made us His people in the world. We bear the sign of the crucified Lord who is risen. It's all a gift, even though tedious and hard as it is at times, because we know God is working greater things through the difficulties and sufferings we bear in faith. Even if it is simply honing our faith more, if we can't see how this could work for good, we will see it. We will see in the resurrection all the more. We know that we see all the more how Jesus bearing his cross for us, either way, is our greatest treasure. His death and resurrection, your baptism into him, secures your future. With this, we still have everything good when everything else is being taken. Now, everything would be too much for us if we were simply left by ourselves, if we didn't have his word, if we weren't entrusting everything to Jesus, if we don't keep on receiving his gifts for our support and true faith. We see how, though bearing his cross and all that led up to it, he was overcoming the world. And indeed, it's something that we keep seeing over and over again, and we love to see. The more you get into it, the more you get to see the details, see how God worked it all out for good. You see, it's never too much. God has plenty to give and more than we could ever ask for. So may we continue to go into it all the more. Amen.
The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.